Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
evening, good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Soul Treat. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Treat Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin, the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. OwenFraze.com. Shout out to all the members of the Brother Band Network, wherever they may be. I think we have a lot to talk about this hour, although the story of the week hit us hard last week, late as we were all blindsided collectively with the news of what came out. Now, BASN has been in this since 1999. Thanks to Roland Rogers, rest in power, and what he's done for us and to us in helping to adjust a balance for black voices in speaking truth to power when it comes to telling the truth about sports. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of the reality of now and the immediacy of now to hit us with those truths as my man Reggie comes into the fray. But I tell you what, facts kill bullshit. That's one thing we've always been consistent about, and facts are killing the shit out of this latest story. Reggie, can you hear me?
I say, son, everybody going to do time today. I'm going to give myself
That's
6 months.
Everybody's going to get time.
I know you're doing the introduction, but I want to say shout out to the Queens of Black Sisters, sister in New York and a sister that's in Georgia. Because the side Negro men ain't doing a damn thing. The sisters are standing up and saving this country again. The black woman. God bless them.
Yeah, I got no arguments there, brother. But you know what? It's funny. There's parallels between the story that's breaking now and something I've known since I was a teenager. The fact that Michael Oher was blindsided by a smiling face. And
well, they're from Mississippi,
Motown,
what you expect.
Exactly. Well, Motown always talked about smiling faces. And, you know, the lyric is true. Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show
it's
no
like the
traces
backstabbers.
of the evil that works within. And boy, were they working within. You know?
Backstabbers.
We have a lot of voices that have really dropped dime on all this, but one guy we like and appreciate is the young man who calls himself Flim Low. He does good work, and Flim Low, for the most part, has been on top of this story. Unfortunately, the sad truth is that we still have to stay on top, given what has happened regarding this Michael Oher story. Unfortunately, we must go to the reality of that. They don't care about us. They never did care about us. And we have to be real and say what needs to be said. Sometimes, you just have to say it for what it is. And too often, people want to ignore it and pretend that, well, that couldn't happen. It didn't do that. Yes, we know it did. It went just like that. And a lot of times, somebody won't say what needs to be said. I'm kind of annoyed at the fact that everybody wants to pretend like, oh, it's a hard-hitting story now. It was a hard-hitting story back then. You didn't do your due diligence. Nobody checked facts. Nobody said, wait a minute. And that's what bothers me. Everybody waited for somebody else to do something.
But, you know, Mike, real quick, in the movie Blindside, that issue came up as far as guardianship. They slipped that one in there, and people forgot.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I got my brother Tony with me now. And Tony.
T-Mac. Return
you know,
of the Mac.
I'm sitting here thinking about this, and how many times have we talked about unscrupulous agents talking their way into people's homes, talking shit to the mothers and fathers, talking about how they'll treat their kid like he was their own son, only to smoke millions of dollars out of the coffers into billions of dollars generated into football or sports, as Fred says, sports entertainment money. Good evening.
You know, remember, the biggest crook doesn't always necessarily have the loudest rap or the whatever. You know, it can be someone that, you know, is literally shaking your hand and stabbing you in the back. You know the old saying, if you shake Don King's hand and you come back with at least three fingers, you know,
that's
consider
right.
yourself,
he done,
consider yourself
he
lucky.
Done good.
Yeah,
he done
really.
Good.
You know, it's funny, and I mentioned this to you the other night when we were show prepping. That was one of the sports movies I never did watch. There was always something weird about that hobby. This was white man's burden to the 26th power. Excuse me, guys. I got to take a call. Hold on one quick second. I apologize.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, but I'll jump in here real quick, Mike. The thing that pissed me off was that not only did they take the man money, but they portrayed him not in a proper way. The brother wasn't stupid. And also, I know people do things with theater, but they really made him look less than what he's supposed to be. Like, the white knight got to come save the day. And the thing that bothers me, when the brother got the contract, something should have rung in where somebody should have told him, yo, man, how much cheddar you make off that movie? He said, I ain't make none. His agent or somebody should have said, just dig and see what's happening here.
Yep.
You know, he had an agent for his football contract. So that agent should have done his due diligence to find out what was going on, if he was really concerned about him.
That's true. No, they didn't care. And we've seen that on various levels from certain coaches talking about how they're going to retire or they'll quit if they can't keep their advantage of privilege, like the devil swings in the world. But the long and short of it is, this game.
Oh, but I got to say real quick, shout out to Dwayne Wade for giving Allen Iverson love. I want to say that was not only a touching moment, but there was an education moment. And Allen Iverson needs to smell his flowers while he can, because a lot of people he influenced, and that was against the NBA hierarchy rule. The band he wore, the clothes he wore. Yeah, Allen hung out with some, should we say, interesting characters, but it never pushed the thing that Allen Iverson made sure that he gave in his different initiative, free four-year scholarships. He didn't have to play no sports. He paid for a lot of young people to go to college free, a four-year ride. Nobody talked about that. The initiative back in his home state of Virginia, the gym is named after him. And for that in Tidewater area is a very big deal.
I think while he played in the NBA, Iverson scholarships went of players each year he played to get folks in school. Now, nobody had to do that. We didn't give a fuck. Iverson always cared, but he was always misinterpreted as somebody who had a different agenda because he didn't look the same or he wasn't considered the right look of what the NBA had in mind. You know, they copied him, they pimped him off, and unfortunately, he ended up on the positive end of things. But it's not like they didn't take a shot at him.
Unbelievable. And I say a lot of people out in Iverson influenced. And Michael saw Iverson, and the highest compliment he said to him was, "Hey, little bitch," meaning that he knew that he was not intimidated by Michael Jordan, especially when he crossed over Michael and bust him in the ass. But like the late Kobe Bryant said, you better be glad Allen Iverson is not 6'8 or 6'7. You have hell on your hands. And this man of steel, Shaquille O'Neal, said he loved Allen Iverson because he said he'd come across the middle, we put him on his ass. He kept coming. He said for a man of his stature and size, that was unbelievable. And they had the utmost respect for Allen Iverson, which I hope one day they name some kind of award after him because he deserves it.
Well, you know what? If they had to get an award to him, it would have to be for somebody who plays beyond what he is because he was amazing. He was, for his size, the biggest and baddest I ever saw. Nobody could do what he did at his size. Nobody.
And I'll tell you one thing, James, hey, Mike, James Harden better be glad Allen Iverson's not around because he would bust him in the ass right now for the bullshit he's trying to pull with the 76ers.
Oh, no shit.
Well, and the crazy thing about Harden is that he's been doing this basically for every team he's been with for the last at some point it's like, you know, who the hell are you?
Yep. They're going to turn their back on him and say, get it written. NBA been here before you and will be here after you're gone.
Pretty much. And I apologize for having to get off for, but to get back to the whole blind side, you know, that was one of those sports movies, that 42 and whatever, that I did not go out of my way to go see because just the whole premise of it really was always sort of weird to me. And then when Mike Over actually said that he didn't like the way that he was depicted, because if you've ever read the book and then seen the movie, we all know about Poetic License, but you know, it was the same sort of stuff that we've seen before where this is like the whole white man's or white woman's burden in a sense.
Yeah, of course.
Where they're saving the rogue black man. And the thing is, this was a guy that was actually a scholar athlete, but it went against the whole narrative of the story that they were trying to push. You know, The crazy thing is, in many ways, this was sort of like, you know, King Kong and Fay Wray all over again, but with a whole different twist. And it's interesting. Of course, you know, the family now has come out and just said, well, we gave him the X amount of money or what have you. But
are they fucking lying?
Well, no. Well, look, they're gonna, you know, look. There, you see now. Now it's damage control. You know, they've been able to get away with it for years, and now now they're basically doing their best. You know, Ken Houston, Deion Sanders, you know, whatever, backtracking. You know, they're going to try to, and it's funny.
Yeah, they done made the money.
Well, see, it's again, it goes back to what I was saying. You know, we get caught up in the stereotype of what a quote unquote crook's supposed to look like. But hey, crooks can look like the guy next door. You know, in the movie, in the Wayans movie, where they do a spoof of the quote unquote boys in the hood and stuff. If you remember the scene in the Chinese grocery store owned by the Chinese folks, they're tailing the two Wayans brothers all over the place. Meanwhile, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy is robbing them blind.
He's ripping them off.
And that was, to me, that spoke more volumes than anything else, because there's always a worry about the alleged threat when the real threat is right there in broad daylight, so to speak. But it is interesting that it was Ole Miss, SEC, and again, here's the crazy thing: 20, 30 years ago, they probably would have never had a guy like that there.
As a matter of fact, a gentleman that we respect, a young brother named Flimbo, came out with videos regarding Saints. They said that when Michael O was showing first semblances of skill, the coach for the high school got him in there and said, yeah, we got to keep an eye on him. They made him a coach at Ole Miss, so he'd bring Michael with him. Now, we've seen deals like that. If you remember Danny Manning, his father ended up a coach at Kansas simply because he was the father of Manning, not because he had any real succinct basketball knowledge that would make him invaluable to team success. He had the winning piece. And now what they're doing with Michael Ower, they're doing the spin and the damage control that nobody really likes, but everybody understands, because they're waiting to see where the shoe's going to drop next. Unfortunately, that's the truth.
Call your cable company. This new groundbreaking discovery gives you access to your favorite channels and
Okay, what is that?
Here we go.
We doing commercials now?
Yep.
They don't know and they don't care.
All they wanted to make sure everybody understood was We're going to let everybody know. We got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. And Patrick, you see Recruiting Madness before, but this was lower than low. This was like sharecropping. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the land for you, but you're going to have to pay for the seed and the plow and all the other shit. And when the crop comes, if the crop comes, this is what we owe you.
Well, first of all, good evening, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Yeah. That's the first thing.
What's up, family?
This evening, I tried to contact somebody who's a lawyer who works with entertainment law, but I couldn't contact her. She's out in California, but because we all have bullet points of the situation, but I know she didn't get into the details, and that's what I want to know about the conservatory agreement, because that is the hip, that's the highlight of the whole thing, and it's messy. From a nuanced perspective, I'm happy with the fact that, you know, a story like that got out. However, it's the same old story, the white folks to the rescue, okay?
That's right.
I'm tired of that. However, if I thought that there was some compensation and it elevated his draft position, which is fine, because he did well with the Ravens. But with this coming out,
Carolina Panthers too.
There's more details that I need to know before I go in on it. I know one thing, something's up, and also we got to go back to a couple of years. He was hinting that something ain't right a long time ago, but he didn't have details. So that lets me know something was going on. And right now, until I get more, I talk to my friend out in California where she can go, boom, hey, this happened, this is what's going to happen. I'll say this much. I can't fathom if the movie made $200 million, but even the people that were his parents only got $14
million. Yeah. Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Man, somebody robbed somebody.
Thank you.
No shit. And he didn't say stick him up. You got to remember, when he was at Ole Miss, he was given money, and he was given SEC money. Now, that could have amounted to 50, 60, whatever, in a shoe bag, shoe partner, whatever it was, in terms of payola. But
Was Suitcase Eddie Sutton around anywhere?
Exactly.
You know, with a FedEx bag of money busting wide open. Sorry for that, yep. Patrick. I know I brought up the past. Sorry about that.
That's right. But you know what? As funny as that seems, that was standard practice. And we know it was done. And we know it was done to more players than just what Mike had done to him. You know, scary that it is, they don't want to say straight away that this would have probably happened to more than one person if they had found other guys like this. How many times have we heard in the fucking Liars Club, the NFL draft, how this guy survived the ghetto?
Oh, please, the ghetto story.
And
give me a break.
And cute violins.
Yeah. But you got Johnny Football running around drunk and spending money beating up women.
God.
You know, they don't care. A conservatorship, to me, is no different than sharecropping. You allow the space in which to grow. They'll allow you to grow the crop. If the crop comes in, you owe them. If the crop doesn't come in, you owe them. Either way, we're going to take ours off the top, and if there's anything left, you get it. The movie itself, The Blind Side, made over $300 million. That's net. net means the total production minus costs like paying for limousines, going to the bathroom, meals, all the other shit. The net is what comes out. We got Gary in the house. But the gross.
Big G.
The gross. We got Ed Federer in the house as well. And the total amount of money.
Big E. Really, what's up, Eric?
Really,
what's up?
That's happening right here.
And we got the old Blindside crew here.
Well, and Mike, here's the other trick about that. My issue with that is, here's a throwback. You know, there's a callback for now. What's her name? That starred in the movie, Sandra Bullock. that she should give her Academy Award back. Now, unless she got some money. Unless she got some money, yeah. But if she ain't got no money, she don't control the purse strings. And
she's a thespian. She's an innocent bystander. You're an actress.
That's my point. That's my point.
You're an actress. When you're an actress, you get a script.
And the lawyers who got to get this together.
First of all, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's over. It's a done deal. The money's been made. Yep. The check's been cut. You know, and everything is taking place. Any thespian, it's just a thing. Another word for actress.
An actress
called thespian out there. She got a script. She read the script. She took it. That's all. That's as deep as it gets there. She don't have to read the book or interview Michael Orr or anybody else for the legitimacy thing. But you know, the thing that, I mean, I've been listening a little bit, but what's constantly overlooked is, I mean, the brother rode with it though, man.
Yeah.
He rode with the hustle from day one. He knew it was bullshit from day one. Come on, man. Come around the way. Everyone makes money off the block.
It reminds me of what Riley Freeman always says in the Boondocks. Game recognized game, granddad.
I'm hearing, you know, none of the fellas here, you know, but, when your money runs out and your career's over and, you know, you're watching these films and the narrative, now, I'm like T-Mac, I bore about 33 minutes of that shit, you know, that show, because my spidey senses to your point, tingle, like, this is utter bullshit. This did not go down the way it did. I mean, I didn't have to get into all the other details about things. But when I watched one scene where Bullock, again, she did her job. She's an actress. She took a script. She did her job. And when she said, Michael, you need to watch my back, and then he became this big ogre, King Kong for Blondie, hanging at the top of the Empire State Building, rolling out.
Yeah, that was in there.
I was out.
That was in there.
I hit eject
so fast after that scene. You know what I mean? Because I was better off watching 3 hours of an infomercial trying to sell fiber products than looking at that crap. You know, to be frank. You know, and I don't watch much TV, but when I looked at that scene there, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Not in the sense of being, you know, sensitized, but it was just bullshit. And I was looking, and I never respect, I'm sorry to say this, but, well, no, I'm not sorry to say this. I got to keep it straight up. I never respected Michael Orr. He was a good football player, but I thought he was bought and sold because he co-signed on the bullshit. Now, I'm not going to condemn him. He just decided to have, he had a smidge of conscience. At this point of his life, we're like, yo, fellas, I'm sorry to say, I'm going to have to spin it this way. But the whole thing was a bunch of bullshit. I knew it. I'm out of money. But right now, I got to tell everybody out here, this was just a bunch of bullshit. We grow up, I mean, come on, man. All of us can relate in somehow in some matter. Patrick, you do this thing. Somehow in some matter where we've seen a documentary of someone from around our way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at it for 5 minutes. So is this the truth or this is bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
Be it a Black Magic, be it what Dick Barnett recently put down, right? You know, that we talked about right here. I mean, those are kind of evidentiary things. But Spike got it right. One thing Spike Lee got it, he got a lot. You know, he did the Hollywood shit when he got Game. But he always, you know, he got it right with La La being
the agent
right set up with Jesus.
He got
a lot right when he got Game. A lot right.
A lot.
Especially, especially if you grew up and play ball around that area. I mean,
yes,
and like I grew up around the way, and come on, man, this is a time where we knew people in the life real close to us, right? In the life, I'm going to word it that way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We didn't condemn them. They weren't trying to be on social media and shit. None of that bullshit existed. But they had the lookout. They were like, "Yo, man, this dude here hands off to other so-called people in the life." Right?
The street agents.
And you
the
got
street agents.
And he did that with Big Time. You know, when Jesus was at the bus stop and Big Time rolled up in the Benz, "Yo, Jay, man, need a lift?" And he hopped mm-hmm. in, right? And he said, "Hey, man, I'm telling everyone, anyone thinks about touching the Jay, man, they got to deal with Big Time Willie." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, here was this character played by Ray Allen who knew the streets, who knew the hustle, mm-hmm. who knew how people try to get into him. And that was Denzel's job, Jake, when he got out the pen, how he was going to protect that. So in other words, if we look at Michael Orr at the same comparative level of what Spike was presenting, that he knew this was bullshit, right? Because
mm-hmm.
they show in the movie, Jesus recognized it was bullshit.
Yep.
Right? Now, when any of us were being recruited or played sports at a younger age and having grown men in your face 15 years old, you know, promising stuff for your basketball, so you start recognizing bullshit
mm-hmm.
at 15,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I know in my life I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in my life I did. And so all of a sudden you start saying, well, damn, these older MFers, right? You know, usually Caucasian men because they were running this recruiting thing at the time, right? At the larger universities were offering you shit that, you know, you knew you had something. So you started really looking at people three quarters of a way before you ever trusted anything they said. Ain't no way, brother Orr. That's my point. So I'm just diamond that down that Orr was up on the game from day uno.
And,
right?
And
if you come into a place like this, when I seen him finally, you know what I seen when I seen him? I gave it 5 minutes. I know. You know, they're going to run with this all over, you know, media, you know, social media, all that shit. They're going to be pushing this narrative. But the moment I seen him fessing up like that, I just seen a brother who rode with the game, rode with the guild, got caught with the Hollyweird shit. Now he's out of the game. He's not getting no money. Pension ain't enough. He's looking at conservatorship. He realized he can't get a cut. He probably ran it down 20 ways. He probably even did the worst thing, ask for a cut.
Yeah.
I would say he did.
There it is.
Everybody
thank you. For, yes, he did. And that's where he got pissed off and he started bitching up. It's the same thing in the narrative real quickly to, you know, when Malcolm X made these statements about Elijah Muhammad, you know, affairs, we'll call it that. It was
right.
After he got evicted
yeah.
from the
yeah.
NOI house. That interview took place when he got evicted. Exactly.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
held on
yep.
publicly forever. The moment he got kicked out of that house, went to court, and they said, listen, the NOI owns this house. You got to bounce. You know, that's when he says, this is some bullshit, the work I put in, probably in his head, and that's when he went viral with his verbiage. But not before that, he went public. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it was a situation that ignited.
Yeah.
How can I retaliate? And the old man in Chicago was, you know, master manipulator, master psychologist. He's just macking him down piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing
yeah.
with war. They matched him so hard and pimped him so hard and covered this shit so tight, he can't even get a cut. Now all he can do is just bitch about how it's all bullshit. Brother, you roll with it, man.
Here's what I'm looking out for.
Okay.
They're gonna ride this story. They're gonna ride this story for another week or so before
right.
football season starts.
You know,
once
right.
football season starts, mm-hmm. just don't go away.
Yeah,
which actually
exactly.
go away.
Yeah.
I want to see where it leads to. In regards to, I know of two people in the same situation right now, high school, right?
Uh-huh.
I want to see what I know two families right now in that case because they're going to suburban. Well, Eric, you know about Bergen Catholic, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, up in Ordell. Yeah, that's That's a bluegrass country.
We've seen these docs, yeah. You know, Patrick. We've seen the Hurley,
yeah.
St. Anthony stuff, and
yes,
you know,
yes.
All these stories, you know, filming around the way.
St. Patrick got a bunch of them.
Kevin. Yeah, HBO did a real good job with that one on St. Patrick, right? I mean, they had a really good show. It's in the archives. They covered what it was still called, St. Patrick's. That's when Gilchrist was still going there.
Yeah.
As well, yeah. Yeah, but again, these are people who, like I said, we've seen these docs pop up on TV that we have, like, direct knowingness, right, of kind of how it went down. Then we'll see, like how are they going to, you know, how are they going to play it out on the screen. And now with social media, man, there's so many podcasts, right, and there's so many videos.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
On stories,
that's a problem.
Right? I mean, I've seen, you know, Milk. They did a three-generation thing with the Wagners out of Camden, you know, Milk, you know, with the Wani, and now, you know, JPPJ, I forgot it's the son's name, going to Kentucky.
Yeah,
going to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then they mentioned my boy Billy Thompson, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, so what I'm saying is we have been around this. We've seen it in the music industry, right? I've seen a document of Clarence Clemons, you know. He ran with my dad at a very early age. I met him as a child. And, you know, they did Big Clem kind of cool. You know what I mean? They show his exoticism and all that kind of shit like that. So we have direct experience when these things roll a tape, roll a movie, roll a video, right? Some direct experiences. That Aura thing was so, that shit might as well have been spent, you know, filmed in Venus for the way I connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
and, you know,
about that was believable to me.
I'm looking for the residue. What happened to the residue of the situation? That's what I'm looking for.
Well,
because it's going to be stretched out somewhere.
Well, what we won't see is Goodell speaking on it. He's going to be as quiet as a rat this long time.
You're right about that, Michael.
It's not an NFL deal. It ain't an NFL. This was an individual. it was an individual who entered in the contract. For example, one of the things that you know, they got out there that I kind of enjoy looking at is that it's the Lakers thing they got going on HBO, Game Time or whatever it's called, Showtime or whatever it's called.
Now, the
interesting part about that particular show is the fact that now, you know, all the Lakers Magic includes, since he's the centerpiece, can't stand it. Right? Oh, that's not us. You know, that's not a good facsimile of reality. True. You can have that mentality. But then I watched a recent episode where HBO did a whole show on Bird and Magic, the legitimate rivalry thing, right? You know, that Indiana State to the pro thing, right?
That's a good show, right?
And so on the last show, they had this Game Time or whatever it's called, man. I take it theoretically, but I like watching because there's so many brothers I coach, you know, in like various, you know, pro leagues, some leagues are extras, right? They're playing on the other team extras. So they're making some money, you know, on this show, right? You know, and so, you know, that being said, as a sidebar, you know, you talk to West and them, they hate it. But what that show does and what it does in terms of this entertainment value is get away from the glossy side piece, big slab of pound cake glorification of athletes. And shows the other twist in reality, which is not that far fetched, to be frank. Right?
One of the things
I can show Magic Johnson's love life.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
With that particular character, I mean, you know, I mean, you can't dine everywhere, right? I mean, brother's dining everywhere, you know. You know?
Brother was swinging though.
And then they show things they show things like a few white lines on the side table, but no direct contact, right? There's a lot of subtleties there. That's not particularly direct. But guess what? There's nothing anyone can do about it because it's a form of theater.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
It's called creative license. It's not how much license you want to spend. That's all.
And so, in other words, they've been pimping and pandering.
Would you expect?
They've been pimping and pandering the black guy. So what's new is happening to Ort? Have we seen this before? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've got a million cases like this.
What's that boy's name?
I mean, if you look at, we don't need to get into the entertainment business.
That's even worse.
I mean, you wake up. Master G, with the rappers delight, right? They should be a quadzillionaire as many times as that's been played. They can't use their names and images. They should be quadzillionaires as often as nursery rhyme rappers has been out there. Quadzillionaires. They can't even get a nickel from that shit today.
But Eric, they picked their template out from the music business. I remember being a preteen.
Excellent.
And Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers came out with Wild and Free. I mean, it was a mega hit. And
that's why we lived on
Amsterdam Avenue between 163rd and 164th.
Oh, Polo
The Lymans lived on 165th Street, up on Sugar Hill. It was no secret that Stitt Junior High School, that's where my brother and sister went, was the place where all this was happening because that's where all it came from. There was a lot of talent in my area. There were the Lymans. There was Jimmy Castor. There was Leslie Uggams. I mean, Sidney Poitier even lived in our neighborhood. But they were really careful about how that talent got meted out. Leslie Uggams' parents were nut jobs who didn't want her around any black people. So she married a white guy.
He took every
fucking nickel he got.
Dorothy Dancer style.
We've seen that play before.
I mean, this is so ongoing. The moment Amos, what's that brother's name, man? Amos, the cookie dude?
The chocolate chip cookie.
The way he got bamboozled, George Clinton still trying to get his masters from some white dudes.
Unfortunately, I must say, in the entertainment piece, which I was involved with, concerts for quite a while. Even though I'm not an aficionado of hip hop, but some young guys got it right in terms of how they do business. A lot of guys got it wrong. Some young guys got it right.
The young guys totally got it right, and that was what haunted Michael Jackson forever when he owned those masters of the Beatles catalogs and everything else. He had that wizardry. But if we look at the bamboozlement, we ain't got enough time to really run the zillion cases down.
Please,
but you look at a brother like James Jamerson, right? The greatest bassist ever for the Motown, right? One of the original funk brothers.
Yep.
How many numbers? No musician or singer ever will appear on more number one records than James Jamerson. No one.
True.
Right? His musical composition, no one. He still studied on his mastery of bass. I remember I seen some interview Beatles.
I got a name for you, Eric. How about Bill Withers? Lean on Me. He made a ton of money off of that.
Bill Withers. I forgot the label, that he went to when they were first starting out. And it was a new label, but they rolled the dice on Bill Withers, because he was an unknown, and Bill Withers' talent took off.
Back to
a dude like James Jamerson, right? Like, if anyone likes the Motown sound, you love James Jamerson because he was the bass.
And don't even know it.
Right, and he was the bass.
And who's the corporate exec just died this week? That was a big
Yes, he did.
Out of California.
As a matter of fact, his wife got assassinated because she got brutally killed. I forgot his name.
Big time with Motown.
He was big time in the music industry. He's a Jersey cat, And what happened is he ended up hooking up with the Jewish dude that booked the acts at the Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his jump off. And he,
and then he went crazy.
And
he's
talking about Booker T. Brashaw.
No, the brother that passed, it's the same dude.
Yeah, he just passed.
But that's where he does
his godfather. He's the godfather.
Correct. If you were in the black music industry, there you go. If you was in the black, you had to go to him to get it booked at the Apollo, which was like, you know, the most epic thing for the black act at the time, because it was a Chitlin Circuit world until you got to the Apollo.
The ring.
You know,
kissed the ring.
Well, and that's how you get in position. But unfortunately, as long as you're in that game, you start, you know, you got to cut them side deals.
Here's the trick, Eric. When you got Obama and you got Joe and you got Bill Clinton saying, yeah, we consulted them also, that's saying something. That's the
Well, the thing is,
you know, he did the Coca-Cola. He took Coca-Cola.
We got plenty of niggas in here
that ain't gonna drink your shit.
But when you know the brothers in that world who perform, they got a different angle at the top echelon than anyone else, because they're the ones. I don't care how the deal is. If you hold the keys to who gets the record deal or who performs where or who cuts the money, this, that, or the other, it's a little bit different, right? And so that's where a guy like Quincy, you know, made his bones, because once he got dialed in with Sinatra, you know, Sinatra ran shit, you know,
Capitol Records and the whole nine yards, made
all that, King Cole, Capitol Records, all that.
Yeah.
But the point being is, you know, if you talk to the grassroots cats, they'll tell you, you know, the chicanery, and they really don't like top executives at all.
No.
To make a move in there, so in other words, if you have the influence in the hood, right, or amongst entertainers, and you have an entertainer who Patrick has, you know, 5 million listeners to his music, and this guy's a conduit to, and you want to run for election, then you can influence that one entertainer and get 5 million votes. That's their hustle.
And that's what they're
talking to a person like that for, period.
Here's how it's changed, unfortunately. Shouldn't say that. Here's how it's changed. One word I constantly tell my interns, who are very smart young people, and they understand it immensely. Technology has shifted that stuff all the way to the other
change.
Side.
No, we're talking
all
about
the way to the other side.
We're talking about. I mean, I'm glad to say, I'm very extremely thankful to say.
Yes, there's
many individuals I know with labels, their own deals, their own screenwriting, their own movie writing, their own independence. I know people putting together epic movie theaters off a cell phone.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't need a big directorship. So I do agree. Like a player I directly coach, you know, for example, just using this example, you know, he runs all the activities at the Pete Maravich Center at LSU. Right, so all the graduations, all the sporting events, he's one of my ex-players. And, you know, he's out of Cali. What brought him to Louisiana, he went to Grambling. And then he stayed there. And so now he runs the Pete Maravich Activity Center completely, all the game scheduling, the preparation, the graduation, any events that happen there, right?
Getting paid.
What I liked about it from the standpoint of when he was a young, you know, I remember driving him home. He's very tender. He had transferred from another school, and he came. His name was Dreyfus Milstead, and he came over there. But he brought a good friend of his too, which was what's the brother that played with the Panthers, got caught up in the jail thing. Unfortunately, he went to Colorado. Ray Caruth.
Ray Caruth,
that was super unfortunate.
Truck of a car with a candy bar.
Horrible. You know, but, he paid the penance. But the thing with it is, you know, this young man here, I mean, I could earmark a lot of places across the country. Like, give you another example. Like, what's his name did a movie? Tyler Perry, right? He did a movie where there was one sister coming up in the entertainment industry. She got caught up with a guy, and you know he was out there. His name was Robbie Jones, right? And Robbie played.
Yeah.
You know Robbie? Yeah, Robbie again.
Yeah,
you know Robbie?
Yeah.
You know, Robbie's another young man, you know, around the way, you know, that I've known, you know, teenage years. But he did a lot of movie theaters. But then I'm seeing him on, you know, stage with Forest Whitaker. and a lot of other actors in that one Louisiana draft movie, but he could actually hoop, right? So they were using actual hoop footage. It was there, but I have seen many of these young brothers that I dealt with at a young age all across the country honeycombed in sisters in various levels of conscientious. Yeah. So I hold out on that. I am super proud on what they've done and what their independence and the fact they do have a conscience and they're not following the Good Boy Network and they're not trying to be all up in the video per se. It's just how the situation has played out, Percy. So I ride with you 100% on the changes. That's why I can speak to those who still do the okie doke. I'm sorry. Or roll with the shit. He got okie doked in the end. They broke it off in him.
Well,
he's bitching up because he couldn't get a cut. And the thing is unfortunate.
Hey, I say, Mike, I'm going to pivot a little bit about something I saw this afternoon. I was checking notes. I was doing some stuff in the station. And I stopped. Matter of fact, I stayed another half an hour to look at it. I'm going, something about this. It's something about that bothers me. Carmelo Anthony's son has a show.
I seen a YouTube thing on it called Ball with Life.
I got a problem with that. If you can get content out and somebody wants to buy it, fine. And I see what it's great to be around his father, but I got an issue with the fact that there's some ball players that can bust his ass.
Patrick, you know what I'm picking up from you, Patrick? I mean, what you're picking up is like, you know, as, you know, the young boys in California like to say to, you know, call you an OG, right? What's up, OG?
Yeah, I'm OG.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That's how they some of my boys from. They go, what's up, OG? You know, Cali head verbiage, you know. And young buck, Cali head stuff. And which is cool. It's, to them, it's a title of respect. But the thing being is you have the perspective. See, all of us here have the perspective. We've seen what it was like for the come up. We've seen all these different eras. Some brothers see more eras than me. You know what I mean? All the way up to the current tense. And we have seen how this shit don't work long term. So when you see a young man like that, what's his arc? Are you already at your arc? And
that's the issue.
Way that they promote basketball these days, basketball is fucking basketball. There's just not much more you can do to tangle into it. Sure, there's a lot of resources and other things, you know, coming into it. But watching these people in the AAU circuit, they're watching the NBA players, too. You know, they have their teams, right? And they're coaching their teams and their sons. And to watch how they act, some of these NBA players, you know, superstar level, whatever it may be, they act worse than Spike Lee at these AAU games as a sideline fan.
Yeah. I just saw a fight of a referee and son the other day. I'm going, why?
Yeah.
It's a game, man. It don't count.
Said hats off to Ice Cube in the 3-on-3. He's doing pretty good with it.
Oh, yeah. And his ratings are pretty good.
He's been getting clipped
nice
lately.
He got Dr. J coach now. Jay come out of retirement.
Pretty good. Well, what you're seeing, you know, there's two rules of thumb with that, though, right? One, Ice Cube, you know, has been a little more verbal about certain things because, you know, he's pretty much said without saying, you know, that the NBA says if you sponsor 3-on-3, you can't sponsor us.
He has
limitations. No. As far as those things are concerned, yeah, it's nice to have that kind of interest in basketball and promote it. But when you start speaking to longevity,
you got Swaggy P out there shooting.
I mean, in other words, I can't watch it because, you know, we grew up playing 3-on-3 all the fucking time. It's just, you know, where we didn't have enough people to get a full court run, right? You know what I mean? At least we get a half court game all day long. So they just implemented what, you know, what happened on the block. Everybody played 3-on-3, 2-on-2. If you didn't have to run the full court game, right? So we ran what was called half court. And they corporatized it, but then you have a lot of guys still playing. But then you also see these other tournaments where, like, ex-college players band together for the $1 million prize and shit, right? Yeah, that's all the diversity of basketball. But then again, it's limited, right? You can't play 82 3-on-3s. You don't have the interest.
No.
Right.
And you can't,
you can't, You can't put it up against the NBA when it's playing, when the NBA time is playing. No one will watch it.
No.
Even the players who play it ain't going to watch it. They're going to be at the games and stuff. So it's kind of interesting to see, but we've talked about this in the past, you know, to get broadcasting and to find some kind of niche, find, you know, tour for distraction to get something on television to cover these 24-hour sports calendars. These places
yeah.
all get a little bit of love on it, but does it mean it's the apex of stuff?
He got CBS
yeah.
back in CBS and
oh, yeah,
the game.
Yeah.
See,
well,
he what kind of deal?
He got yeah. it right
CBS
time.
Needs to fill that calendar,
and particularly in the summertime.
That's bad enough.
Best time
correct.
To do it.
Best time to do it.
No offense. That's better than being on cable, and nobody knows when the fuck are you.
Yeah. yeah.
Exactly. Cable.
Well, you know what the problem
what
is. I mean, you know what's interesting about that? That's a great point. You know what's interesting about that? I remember when that duo on Fox, before the brother left, we'll just leave it like that, right? You know, the similar to First Take show from Fox's version.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the
best. That, yeah, I think that. Did you
oh,
say,
that bullshit show.
Did you reverse
First
his initials and go,
bullshit.
Did you reverse his initial and go BS? All right, but that's another story.
That's what it is.
And yeah, yeah. But the point was, it was this one journalist, and Caucasian too, and he cannot stand, you know, the BS guy, right? He can't stand him.
Yeah.
So what he would
Kid
do.
Bellies.
Yeah, exactly. What he would do, because he had a lot of, you know, TV knowing this about viewership, he would always do a viewership rating of the end of the show and how it compared to, like, the Cartoon Network. And there was, like, reruns. There was shit like reruns of some,
that's
you know,
funny.
Some old school, like, McGill and Gorilla and shit had an 8.3 rating, and their show was 5.7. Then they would show, like, they would show Gilligan Island had a 9.1 rating that day, and they had a 6.6.
Oh,
and it was all documented.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in other words, it's the truth, though. See, that's what
you
people want to
it.
Say. So these,
yes, you can.
So these networks, real quickly to that, so these networks, ESPN included,
the
who
on,
talk about their viewership and how successful, there are days, they're getting, there are many days, they're getting out, they're getting, Bonanza reruns are getting more viewership. So that's a
myth. And here's the other part. It's going to get worse once all the streaming gets totally fixed. The way it's basically it centers around this. It's direct to the program content entity. It's going to be direct to the entity. You don't need a network to do it.
They're not getting the viewership
trick.
that the people are soliciting. Because we can break it down. I can go right now and pull, damn, Ironside rerun got more viewership than First Take this morning.
It might, but here's
is
the flip
the
side
old
of that.
Or new Ironside? Which Ironside?
But here's the flip side of that.
and you know, we got the brothers in new Ironside.
But here's the flip side of that. That doesn't sell to the demographic of the products that they're putting out.
The thing is why the integration of women are more is to try to attract more women. But still, again, it's easy to clip these contracts when you look at the viewership numbers. It's bullshit. It's utter bullshit. All I want to emphasize is utter bullshit. Because this dude was breaking down. Flintstones were out beating them. I mean, it was a whole cavalry because when you look at, I mean, so in other words, when they get on TV, we're number one. We're never, well, let's run and see who watched what today. Damn, Good Times doubled you.
Damn.
That's that's one of the reasons why I mentioned last week all these league conference deals has been made for the Pac-12, the Pac-12, with the four teams they got, and the SEC and the Big Ten, where the fact that it's unfortunate that they tried to stream it out through Apple, and they thought they could pull it off with the new technology,
the
and it backed up on now Pac-12, that's not working anymore. And
no, it's dead. I deal with that.
And guess what happened today? Florida State is still – Florida State is going to leave next year.
Yeah, they're leaving the ACC. Well, when you look at the Big 12 –
Who
knows? They may end up playing Hawaii six times a year. The way things are going nowadays.
Maryland's coming back to the ACC?
But the trick is the network viewership is now, along with the cable subscriptions that have been hit, the money that's stretched, and that's what really killed the Pac-12. There's not enough money to go around for all the main on the Power Five companies. That's
Thank
what
you.
Killed it.
Thank well,
you.
I mean, the thing is nowadays
golf and then off the wall sports.
Obviously, when Oregon State, you know,
Duke University tournament is not going to happen, huh?
No telling. But you know, I mean, the Big 12 commissioner talks about we're across four time zones. You know, we're four time zones for entering states. So in other words, they just nationalize the product with any, you know, with the non-care to all those other things, but. It's not a sustainable thing because, again, now we know for a fact that collegiate athletes are now pro athletes. So the gambling is just going to get even more insane, you know, how that's going. And the players are going to get more involved. But, you know, that's what they're begging for. That's what they're begging for. And that's what they're doing. But, again, the thing is with the viewership again. Yeah, the viewership. If I can program my television. For a
there
week
you go.
To watch whatever I want to watch. I don't
there
have to at one time include any sports. So anyone who's promoting these talking head things of having these great numbers and doing well, let's see what else came on during that time slot. Oh, shit, there was
exactly.
a Westminster dog show that tripled your NFL show today.
Yeah, a lot of people
in the same time slot.
Hold on.
WWE wrestling? Don't even talk about the wrestling.
Hold on, This puts the league in a trick bag because Goodell is going to have to say something. He don't know when, but he'll have to say something. When it comes to the draft next year, they'll have to find a different line of communication because they can't talk about the kid that survived the ghettos and all the other shit. You didn't say
Trey
Wingo,
where are you?
Exactly. Yeah. You didn't protect anybody from the ghetto and the evils of drugs or whatever it was that made
James Violet.
This guy triumphed and he signed the NFL contract. Let's not forget, Michael Owen played 8 years, so he's eligible for a pension. Now, how much of that money did he actually get? That's another question they haven't said anything about yet. And that's where the so-called journalists have fallen flat on their face. Our colleague Flevlo did a nice job in dotting the I's and crossing the T's in this story, and we give him credit for that. But there are a lot of people who fell short on this because they didn't believe how bad it was. This was worse because it wasn't even slave wages. You were just a slave, period. They didn't even give you any money. They didn't want to give you any money. And they got away with it because when he signed it, it was all legal.
That's a damn shame. So you're telling me, Mike, that they're still getting money in his pocket?
That's right.
Somebody's giving
otherwise, the tweet would never
NFL,
come out.
Wait a minute, his NFL contract and his pension, they still afforded that.
Otherwise, the Tweez would have never come out and said that he was trying to shake them down. Shit, they took his money for 20 years. That's money from the movie, from rentals, from appearances they made.
They're from Mississippi. What do you expect? They're good old people from Mississippi. Hey, is Brett Favre in this too? Brett Favre must be a part of this too, ain't he?
You're defaming
my character, Shannon Sharp.
He may not be. He may not be. But there's,
I'm sorry.
But there's gonna
I'm
be,
sorry.
But there's going to be other brothers. There's going to be other brothers. There's going to be other brothers.
Man, I kill myself
in just
sometimes.
This fucked up situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get killed because somebody's taking advantage of them and nobody's saying nothing about it because, well, after all, Michael O got fucked over and, hey, no harm, no foul. That's what it's going
to
come down to.
I mean, but back to Orr real quick. I mean, anyone who's been in any competitive sports or been in any competitive locker room, it's brutal with the jokes.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, Vic Finn. And it already when he was playing, they were like, they were already talking bad about him, about how that movie was laid out and how he was playing up the massa. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, everyone was riding with the story, especially those around the league, and then rival defensive linemen would talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, out on the field.
And he was licking stuff out anyway during that time. He was licking stuff out. Folks didn't want to hear it because they were captured by the success of the movie, but he was licking out stuff again.
And now it didn't work out long term. The checks start bouncing. The career is over. The injury, the potential of CTE, the fanfare. No one recognizes
mm-hmm.
you. Everything's connected
mm-hmm.
to the movie, but not about you, the person, the human. You got ripped
that's
off. You got shamed. I mean, where you at, Denzel? You've been bamboozled. Plymouth Rock landed on you.
King right. Kong ain't got nothing on me.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was the direct language that
yeah.
brothers talked about. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
they got to find a way how to spin this because this
mm-hmm.
is not some casual comment that's going to disappear into the ozone. It's going to be April
mm-hmm.
before a lot of folks know it. The season will come and go. The bets will flow,
yep.
and it won't matter because all they care about is what's the point spread? What's the point spread
mm-hmm.
on Chiefs Charlie?
They don't care.
I mean,
you're right about that. It's an old saying, a statement would make, a sister would make, a sage, a go-go, you know, a sangoma,
yeah.
you know, the South African word for, you know, those who know what the real deal is, who has the indigenous knowledge. When stuff like goes like down like this, he would always encapsulate it this way. Another brother played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real.
Mm-hmm. See, Mike, I want to ask Fred and Reggie some information about some stuff I'm going through about some HBCU Houston players. See if you know some of these guys, man.
Fred can tell you.
Well, Fred, yeah.
Because more than that.
You there, Fred?
No, he's not in yet.
Oh, he's not in yet.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
What you
yeah,
got?
Yeah, because there was some. They've been. I got some information that somebody's sitting with some HBs. So you know something about North Carolina about the MEAC, the
yes,
quarterback, Dearis Richard, North Carolina Central.
From Central. Yeah.
Yep. They got him on a list that I was sent from the NFL. A 6'3" dual quarterback, and I figured I'd ask you about it. You might know something about him, and then the guy I was interested in because he plays alongside a guy from Jersey City that was all MEAC. His name is Lawrence Richardson from Morgan State. They got him on a line because he's possibly a draft choice. Matter of fact, he gave a whole lot of praise to for Dion for promoting the league because you know on the 26th of this month, Jackson State is going to play South Carolina State in the ABC teacher game at 7:30 at night, which is going to be good.
Shit.
Oh yeah,
as long as they got the halftime showing and the band's playing. We got something making here.
Well, they always mess that up. You know this kid from Howard? Oh. Kenny Gallup? I think I got a picture of him last year.
With him.
I got a picture of him last year. Now, from the SWAC,
yeah.
I heard about this kid, D'Angelo Anderson. He was the defensive player of the year last year in the SWAC.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, a lot of those guys defected when Deion, especially Jackson State, when Deion did his pull-up thing. So, basically, I got to give my man Luke Williams. Because the guys know Luke Williams. Luke can definitely do a thorough report for you.
Okay. All right. And they got a quarterback that was at Vanderbilt that's coming in. I thought that was interesting. He was from Vanderbilt, the Flying U. That was interesting. And there's one other guy that I had is a linebacker out of – no, there he is, one other guy. Tariq Stewart out of A&T. You know about him?
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I don't know, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, they've been sending me stuff because I'm a fan for the, you know, football season. I'm going, well, you guys would know about him, so I keep my eye on him because But they had a good year. Not a good year. They had some more. I think they had about 14 players from HBCU schools that were drafted this year. That's nice, but should be 114 in my mind. That's another story.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
But you know, Hampton and hold up, Hampton A&T, just like Tennessee State. You know, they're in the CAA, which Dr. Harvey was trying to get in for many of years. And it's how fitting Dr. Harvey has retired and Hampton's in the CAA for the first time this year. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, there's one brother you need to look out for is my man, Coach Mike London at Wilmer Murray.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Mike London is kicking ass, taking names. He already had won that championship at Richmond to his credit, and the fuckers here don't even want to give a man no credit for that. That's another two-hour show. But he's taking names and whooping ass in the CAA. And I'm going to tell you, that coach of the University of Richmond, he's a sorry piece of shit. And they got Morgan State their first game.
Well,
so just be on the lookout for that Morgan State-Richmond game because he might try to put 100 on Morgan State if he can.
We've spoken to Coach Mike before. We have a lot of respect for him. But this still comes back to the fact that the spin will be handled by those in control. And even though the teams should have been raked over the coals, disbanded. Remember, they went out to Tank Black with a fierce fire, and they made sure brother could not hire anybody or work for anybody. ESPN is full of shit. They've always been full of shit, and I got proof of that right here.
He is a Super Bowl champion, a first-round NFL draft pick. Michael joins us here in studio. Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for that.
Yeah, my pleasure. First football question, you played under Hugh Freeze, and now he was back in the FBC. You played for him under Ole Miss at Ole Miss. Now he's back at Auburn.
Yeah.
Hugh has had some ups and downs in his career as well, but is this supposed to talk about how much you appreciate him, that you're still friends to this day? Tell me about your relationship with Hugh and how you think he'll do all of it. I think personally he'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, pleasure.
Yeah, you see that? They get Michael on, and Michael, in the chance to try to speak truth, doesn't get to speak on his own truth. He spoke on the coach who got him to Ole Miss. They didn't want to make the conversation any longer or shorter than that. They nipped it in the bud, and this is before the Tuies came out and dropped dime on this embarrassing affair. Their brothers can't catch a break. And if anybody tells me some shit about someone's rising in the next draft, they can kiss the pinkest part of my black ass. There's something really fucked up going on. And this sharecropping that has been done on behalf of Michael Orr, it should be outlawed. And there should be some severe penalties. And since nobody know nothing except hitting that wallet, that wallet should be hit in earnest in a major way.
They don't need no Brown. Don't nobody know nothing.
Nobody know nothing. Yeah.
But again, you know, we're not dealing with like sidewalk candy bar, you know, lawyers or contract writers. You signed a ton of paperwork, giving up your rights. You have no rights at this point in time. There's no sense.
Yeah.
You signed your shit away when you signed it. Mm-hmm. They broke you off a little something, something. There's no fallback. That's why you got to go on. That's why you got to go on the rant tip. That's why you got to go on the media. And then you're still being played because you're not going on a public forum that's going to allow you to speak. You're going there thinking, again, trusting the good old man, and he's going to give you the right question.
Yeah.
And then they just start speaking. So you look like a clown.
Oh, no, they ain't going to do that. You're right about that.
Thank you.
Once they get you on there, now, they might give you
the Bill O'Reilly treatment.
Here's what they're going to do. They might give you an email of questions that we might ask you these four questions. But once you get on there, when that producer's in his ear, asking about this, that's not only question. No, asking about anything, because he knows that gets you viewership on different levels. The director of viewership,
yep,
from who's watching it, that will link into what? It will link into the social media. That gets all anything they want.
Yeah, it goes viral. Exactly. And then on top of that, what you have is, that's why the brothers have got their own podcast. They control the narrative.
They don't even go
up in those places. So now, the moment you enter, the moment you're getting interviewed, it's a wrap. So when I listen to that piece there, I'm like, shit. I mean, you did that. You fucked up again, bro. You went on that thing. At this point in time, the crowd, what am I calling it? The sharecropper? This isn't even sharecropper. This is just flat chattel display auction block shit where we're going to recycle you over and over again. That's what this is, because the moment you sign a deal, right? I remember doing a Nike commercial shit, way back where they were producing some black. They had this dude named Lamar Mundane on the black tie. He used to rain jumpers out the air. Remember that little snippet? I mean, people can find it on YouTube. It was very small.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you agree to that, you are signing all kinds of shit away about how we're going to pay you this. This is what you get paid for this thing, but you will get no royalties, you'll get no residuals, you'll get no anything.
Yeah.
We own the likeness here. So Orr signed all of that shit.
And the statute of limitations is gone.
Gone.
Yes, sir.
So there's no spin. No one, dude, you contractually gave them all rights and privileges.
Yeah, you said Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
You went to them to get a cut. And you found out they did the conservatorship.
That's the way it works.
Thank you. Patrick.
Yeah, that's the way it works. It's a matter of see, also, one of the things I'm going to do a pivot here that I think is important,
mm-hmm,
where technology has helped out brothers. The fact that guys have the well-done podcast, like The Pivot, you can go into detail to make things happen. And, guys, it's killing these white boys on TV. It's killing them. Because
Mike Tyson's Hot Boxing crushes. It's just a YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Barnes, and
Shannon
Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're on Showtime, so what takes place with this thing with these venues, the people who are still running, like on that network show that might give everything, you sign, man, they got your ink.
Yeah, you see, it takes him to go on one of those shows, particularly with The Pivot, because Ryan and the other two guys, they will dissect stuff where he's going to talk, and that's where he should go.
Yeah.
Rather than have he ain't got a publicist, and if he got a publicist, he's messing up.
But Pat, what is it going to do though? He signed the shit off.
Yeah.
All he can do is rant.
Right. What he's trying to do is to get attention, and where's that attention going to go? We don't know.
Basically, he's saying people who watched this movie, rented this movie, bought this movie, had movie night with this movie. Basically, how I read it, it was a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In the meantime, everybody got paid.
The residuals are there. It's broken up. Maybe he's trying to destroy future views of the movie for more profit. Maybe that's his best success on this one.
That's over, because that's in the first part of the contract.
And they're not renegotiating anything.
Yeah, I mean, when did that movie come out? 2000 what? 9? 8? 7?
2009 or 2010. And And Peyton Manning was a guest on Saturday Night Live with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, God.
And they did a skit with her being some kind of, how can I say, parasite parent who set off taking care of kids. They were making fun of Michael Owen. He didn't even realize it. And it did not play well. I think it came out in 2010, but it was very similar to what was done in principle with this conservatorship. And the next time anybody from so-called college ball or ESPN, the mouse, the rat, anywhere, says something about some kid who had a ghetto background who survived the mean streets of wherever USA, they're going to be speaking out the crack of their ass. And everybody collectively should be tired of it.
And Mike, I told you they're going to do it this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
They're going to do it tomorrow afternoon. Because that's all they know is a ghetto story. That's all they know.
Yep.
That's all they know.
You didn't do the Jackie Robinson story where you played yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, things like that tick back yesterday. I mean, you can still catch the Jackie Robinson story. That shit's older than, you know what I'm saying, I don't know who, FDR and anybody else combined. And that's still the rules. But we see Jackie. We see him. We know that's Jackie Robinson, at least if he signs off to this fluff story. That's the story. Or, you know, he gave up all these rights and privileges to his image. There's a certain athlete nowadays that has his image posted with nonstop corporations everywhere only because he signed his image away to a hedge fund manager who runs that. So,
yep.
And the trade-off, but he has no rights to his image at all. You know what I mean? He signed that away. So whenever they say, hey, advertise for Nissan, advertise for, you know, Raid, advertise for, you know, Coca-Cola, he's there. You know, hey, we're going to start this in your name. He's there because they want that billion-dollar, trillion-dollar black economy dollar, period.
Yeah. And they'll
use the black face to do so. So when people come and talk to you in this show, they don't want to hear the narrative, oh, poor Michael, oh, those dirty white people, oh, they did a conservatorship.
No.
You willfully signed that shit away. You booked it. That's the pain the brother's dealing with. And his outlet is just trying to tell the story and dismantle what he co-signed on.
And believe me, the executive producer and the producer who hits in the VP make sure that question is asked to do just what you said.
Yes, sir. You know, and that's why I say when people come, you know, they're not going to hear this twist on these other networks, right? Because we got to look at the brother and go, damn, dog, you know, what did you do, man? Now, we all know pro athletes or have social relationships with pro athletes, friendships that may have started before they became pro, right? I have quite a few of these brothers, you know, we came up with, you know, and no names necessary. I get that 2 a.m. call. While they're active professionals, you know, trying to tell me, you know, what to deal with a fraternity thing. You know, they got concerns on that.
Lord, you know what I'm saying, right? Lord have mercy.
They got concerns on that. And so they know I ain't giving them up. But one thing they come for is frankness.
Exactly.
They don't come for me to be the cheerleader. And the pom-pom waiver. Even though technically I will always, you know, got your back. I had an NBA player friend, you know, true story. You know, he is active NBA. New York at the time, this was, mid-80s, right? New York at the time had just put in the toughest handgun laws in the country, right? You know, just having it, right? He literally... on a team flight, tried to get – he got through, and they went through his luggage. He had a gat. You know what I mean? So he got locked up, but a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff took up. People got paid. He got out because it wasn't a public story. No social media. No one seen it. Mm-hmm. And he called me, and he was scared to fucking death and shit, you know?
Yeah.
But he didn't call me to go, oh, that's okay, dude. We got you. He called me to get the cuss out. From someone who respected, because he knew it was coming from a place of like, you know, yo, come on, man, look what you've done. That's coming. And you're right, man. You're right, because he Well, did, he already got the kiss ass from team executives and the league or whomever else helped keep it hush hush. So he needed that like tough type of convo, not because it was degrading, because he knew it wasn't degrading at all, but just to flip back the script because you're slipping.
Yeah.
Bro, you're slipping. So Switzer, that's my point. And Switzer tried to get through LaGuardia with a piece. Remember that? When he was coaching the show, was they arrested his ass?
Eric, I got go in for you.
Okay.
When I was calling the Jets. Mikey might have been there at the time. What's the safety from this is the old time, but before they changed the setup to go into the Meadowlands. There was one spot you could go to the Meadowlands. You could actually walk through the same same way as the players, right? Matter of fact, they put on TV all the time. But I forgot the safety for the Jets goes through the driving cars, and the cop stops him, and he got a rifle in the back of his car.
Come on, man.
I mean,
Dennis Rodman went to a workout. He had some depressing shit when he was with Detroit. He went to the parking lot. Remember that brother, the Chiefs, blew his brains out right in front of Romeo Crennel and the GM?
In the parking lot
because of some stuff with his old lady?
Yes, I remember that well.
You know? So, in other words, it's human beings we're dealing with who can ball, right? They got a lot of fragilities, too. They got a lot of things. So they kind of need those kind of protective things. And that's where when LeBron and these other players, primarily LeBron, but others did it too, when they got the people they grew up with to be their inner circle, because you need that shit.
You
got
to have it. You have to have it.
Because you're going to get, what's the name of this movie? You're going to get blindsided if you don't know the TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened before. He didn't have the support system. He didn't have a brother.
Yeah.
Man, let's look at that contract, man.
Yeah.
You know, what's our long-term cut? I mean, good times, you know, Bernadette Stanislaus, I think, remember, Mike, they were on the old radio show one time, you know, with T-Mac. She came on. Remember that? That was, what was her role? What was her role in Good Times? What was her name again? The daughter?
Thelma.
She came on, and she was cool. But she talked about they ain't getting no love, and we see Good Times 4 zillion times a day in today's world. They're not getting a cut of royalty on that shit.
No. And I can concur because we had it in my studio.
Okay.
I can concur.
Right.
I can concur.
So now why are people sitting there in this medicinal marijuana thing just watching that 70s shit of Good Times and just crazy humor, and then they turn on and watch some of these sports networks and they see the new JJs?
Yep. I'm getting flashbacks.
You know what I'm saying?
They're seeing the
new JJs.
Well, if you get a publicist, that's why. You know, and no one else I suggest that players athletes do right now. I suggest the athletes. No, if there was a team, their SI guy or their or the clerk and the media guy at the side is going to cover it. But they need to have their own. They need to take money instead of buying a $4,000, $5,000 chain, hire a publicist to cover your butt in addition to what team you have. You have to do that. But they don't think like that.
Well, you know what, Pastor, again, you're watching people who have grew up on what I call the assembly line, right? And anyone who reflects a conscientiousness that might change the game can be a leadership alert player, you know, communicate the right way. I don't care how nice your game is, they ain't making it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Mike, guys, have you seen the latest Hard Knocks of the Jets?
Somebody
went.
The coach went off on the offensive line.
Oh, man.
Y'all ain't playing like shit. You get my quarterback killed.
Hey.
Is that Hard Knocks you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to offer. But you know something? He need to do that because he ain't lying. He ain't lying. Because
the truth hurts.
Yeah, but you know what though, man? But you got to talk. That's In other words, I haven't seen it. So, in other words, would you define that as he was coaching?
He was lecturing.
Hey, guys, look, the kid from Louisville is from Richmond, Virginia, Howard String High School, and he been on the contract for 3 or 4 years. I ain't played 4 or 5 games. He the one with the knee problem. The big kid from Louisville.
You know, the big kid Meckin? But you know something? I believe he has the same kind of physical makeup that can deteriorate his size as a league. I'm going to give a perfect example who had the same thing and deteriorated his career, and people thought he was a bum. Remember Yinka Diary that played with George Washington?
Yeah, you know what his nickname was, right? Stinker. The other players called him Stinker.
I was looking at this. I was playing at the time. But it was amazing how he played well in practice, but got in the game, he froze. But he had an deteriorated knee because he grew at a rate that his knees did not grow with the kind of strength they should have. Of course, he jumped out.
Exactly.
It didn't catch up with his body. And I think that kid may got the same problem.
I'll tell you a classic case of the same thing, Andrew Bynum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he was the same way. The way he was constructed, you know, Vidi, longtime Lakers trainer. You know, he mentioned he was always going to be injury prone because of, you know, his skeletal and how it was.
Same thing happened with
Greg
Oden.
Yeah,
Greg had the same problem. Yes, he did.
They were unstable because of their growth and the growth spurt and the inability to handle their frames. That was something they couldn't do anything about. There were very few guys that were of the same height, definition, and conformation as, say, Shaquille O'Neal was or Bob Lanier was or what was back in the day. They just don't make them like that anymore.
And the thing about Shaq, because he just, you know, has so much torque on his physiology, you know, that he literally can't, you know, run at all. His hamstrings are just shot.
Yeah.
Bill Walton can barely walk now.
He had a lot of bone issues.
Yeah,
with
big
his
time.
Feet.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah, with
bone
his feet.
On
you
bone.
Know. Shaq's situation was he went at it so, you know, relentlessly and powerfully. He just hit those hamstrings blew out, man. Same thing happened with Barkley. You know, the weight after a certain point of time, you know, you just can't carry it no more.
Here's a question.
What was the guy named the basketball player from Ohio State that had Michael knee surgery that didn't last 2 years in a pro?
Greg Oden.
He's at
Butler now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Butler, man.
Here's
the killer. With that in mind, we've talked about it, but it falls in the same category. Our boy from New Orleans,
Zion.
Oh,
yes, Zion.
But he's
busy
running
out the
porn stars.
Oh,
In other words, you don't live in a world where you can find a so-called Instagram model and text her, DM her, and the next thing you're falling out.
I turn on the TV and there's black porn, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing in there?
The frightening thing would be is that in all areas of athletics and entertainment, the porn industry and integration is as common
big
as
time.
Peanut butter and jelly.
That's not new stuff at all. Obviously, you don't know personally. You just heard about it. Now,
all right. Yeah, no personal knowledge. Vanessa Del Rio on line one, Mr. Satterwhite. Vanessa Del Rio on line one.
I understand. Hold on. Let me get down a little longer. Yo, G, you sat back.
Hey, Mike, your wife's not listening tonight, is she, Mike?
Watch your mouth.
G-rated. G-
hey,
I mean, everything,
hey, look,
everything we're sharing is pure fiction.
Hey, I used to go this with Mike. Now Mike's a member of the Married Club. Mike, is you listening?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Beautiful thing. Mike and his show. I have nothing to say or do.
Well,
I'm
you probably know about this.
In terms of
Paul and Webby, you know, what's that boy, Garoppolo, who just with Oakland?
Garoppolo.
Oh, you know what he was doing for years?
Yeah. Jimmy Paul.
And nobody, but he kept on balling. Obviously, the guy couldn't do the same thing.
And allegedly your last president of the United States, like the dabble in the
we know that. You know, he messed with a snake every time he was with his place.
Yeah. As far as Zion's choices, I wish I could say he was the first one that integrated in that world.
Yeah,
man,
that's
but,
like
you know.
2 minutes.
We won't get
caught up because what did the sister say? Another brother played.
Let's get the final thought.
Reggie, set it off for us. And lay out the foundation for what we're going to say in our last click set.
Well, you know, I'm still hurt that Otis Taylor is not in the
I agree.
You and me both.
And then Jack
Doreen
jumped him because he thought he was a scab player. I never liked Jack Doreen. I don't give a fuck if he did play in the NFL. They show you the kind of white supremacist racism that goes down. This brother was a scout for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Jarea thought that he was a scab. So he picked all them players out. He jumped on an elderly, Otis Taylor. And it just hurt that players like this are not the smelling roses, not even get a cup of coffee, because these jackasses that picked the players have no clue of what HBCU players did back in the day. Just food for thought for his sister. And Georgia, God bless you. Line them bitches up. Line them up. Friday. Line them up. The black woman can stand up for politics, but the black man is standing around trying to get tricked. I don't want to hear. God bless his sister.
I tell you. Well, since the professor ain't show up here, I tell you what, Gary, we ain't heard from you all night. What's your view on what's going on with this North thing?
What's wrong with Pete? G's flipping.
He's making that 15-bean soup, man. He's not thinking about us, man.
What's your vibe on what went down with Michael Oher and how the mouse, the rat, they're going to handle this bullshit next year when they talk about players and rats?
Well, the mouse is doing it. What they do, what they regularly do, that's what they do. I mean, look. We as African Americans, I got to take control of some stuff. We had no control over ESPN. We had no control over the movies. We had no control over anything.
Stephen A. Smith found that out now too. No control over his job either.
And that's why he get what he's getting. We got to tell him. We got to, look, guys. Yeah, I hate to say it, but we need to go back to the 60s. But we support each other indefinitely. We don't do that anymore. And it's killed us. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, there's, to that point, what I'm pleased with, there's a lot more unity in the young sector along the support level than the ones that they show. You know, in the media, right? You know, I had a brother tell me, he said, the ones that they're showing fucking up and constantly putting, he said, those are the decoys. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. So the brothers and sisters who are truly getting together are not the focus. So there's a whole grassroots youth thing, brilliance. I'm not even talking about intelligence. I'm talking about absolute brilliance in so many spectres of global levels. I mean, there's brothers designing cars that run on water and shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and they're young. and they're doing some incredible things as if the ancestors are waking up in their bloodline, and they're all in. They're all in. But they're wisely not promoting. That's just all we see with these, you know, prominent talking head videos. They're literally the minority. They just have a large bandwidth of listenership. But remember, there's many times Ironside is getting double the viewership.
Well, I think this year, gentlemen, we have 14 starting quarterbacks, black quarterbacks.
Right.
14.
Awesome.
The highest ever in the NFL. There's never been no more than 12. Right? This year, 14 with a young brother from Indianapolis.
Yep. Richardson. Announcing today, he said he was shocked.
Yep.
We'll see.
And these young coaches who grew up with a black man in the White House and listen to hip hop as a prime music, they want to win.
Yeah, yeah.
That old guard ain't around no more. And so that leads me to my final thoughts. Mike, thank you for, you know, letting me jump in there right fast. And it's going to be brief.
Yeah.
It's just a forecast, right? Just a forecast. Jordan Love is going to have a better season than Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Really?
That's my view. Jordan Love is going to have a more productive season than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's not even Negro Drummer's bet.
You're right.
Interesting. And Eric, I'll tell you this. Well, it has some validity. Here's why. But numbers wise, I keep telling people that Aaron Rodgers with this Jet team will be a step above a game manager. He doesn't have to win it all. All right? Bill Thompson's going to be called upon to do so, but for the most part, if that running game works, he can be a game manager, and they'll do quite well.
But I got a question for you to that, Patrick. You're local to it. You've been around the game. So the question to that is, can Salah run it? Can he handle it?
We're going to see, because we don't know. You know, he has the temperament. I think you have to respect the players, but the game ain't played on hard knocks. The game is played on that.
That's right.
We're gonna see. He got some good people around him. He got support. I do know this: the support of the player. He has support of the players, but like he had to cut his players out and say, "That's nice. We want to get out of the culture that we've been identified as being losers, and not coming up and not stepping up when we have to." So he made that out there, and of course, in the preseason game was doesn't mean nothing. That Saturday, he shut the Panthers out. But the trick is, about three weeks, we're going to see.
If you look at Jordan Love real quickly to the conference, hopefully Justin Fields will get a little bit better with the passing and shit. You know what I mean? But if you look at that continent, you know, that division they're in, you know, Minnesota, you know, I mean, they're interesting. But Jordan Love's been prepping. He's been ready to go. I mean, he's got a nice game. They're riding with him. And plus the coach been wanting to go with him for a long time. He had to play the Rodgers politics forever. But they didn't draft Love with the aspect of him being a bench. So I think Love, again, off radar, new fresh start, development of system, and Rodgers in his new setup, playing in that environment, different conference, and they're going to be coming at him with a better pass rush, and their line don't look good.
Yes, Lord.
I'm just thinking Jordan's going to be better.
There was no question about that. And here's what I'm looking forward to. Unfortunately, the Jets won't give me my season pass this year again. No, but hey, my boy,
too many requests. Giants.
Oh my, they won't give me my credentials this year. They didn't give it to me last year, and my man with the Giants, I'm doing some stuff with. They had three brothers at the Giant practice. When I was coming to Giants for some of 20 years, you got 8, 9, 10 brothers. No more.
That's right.
But anyway, no more.
I got you. Good stuff.
No more. Oh, I'll give my final one a mic.
Yeah, baby.
The other day I signed up for the YouTube Sunday Ticket, and I was in a meeting, a seminar some 12, 14 years ago. The World Congress of Sports, where they said eventually it's going to be Yankee games are going to be on the tablets and phones, eventually did. Well, also in that same conference, eventually what's going to happen, no one could imagine at the time, NFL games that you want to choose can be in your home coming in years to come. Well, 20-something
like
years later, it's happened.
It's here.
It happens like that.
It's here.
It's now. And that the YouTube piece they have, because of the wiring and technology, they can do it more than the old Ticketmaster with the satellite dish on it. But hey,
man, you watch these security guards, right? You know, these security guards at these stores. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you walk in, I mean, oh, what's the score, bro? Because he's watching the NFL game right outside. He ain't watching the parking lot and shit. He's watching the Patriots and the Colts.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you can have Sunday ticket for the low price of $369.
Well,
You can cut it.
That's where you can cut it.
But you can cut it. But if you're gambling, right, if you may have a $400 wager, that $369 ain't shit.
Keep that thought in mind, Eric.
All right.
I got my subscription, right? I got hit with something today. Stay in your seats. The Sunday ticket that YouTube will give you, they have a special edition of Sunday ticket. Do you know what that's for?
They
have a special
edition.
No, we have a special edition of this YouTube season tickets for students in college.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, when I was in college, I had cable TV. Everybody had to pay the same price.
Right.
But a special price for students. We all know why they're doing that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The bettors are going to go crazy.
There
you see Fantasy League and Little
League,
they're going to go crazy.
Yes, they are.
Somebody gonna flunk out of college because they're gonna bet the tuition on a Sunday game and lose everything.
But you know what, college on campus bet has been there forever. And I always tell people that when you watch these collegiate games, I don't care what it is, college or pro, and they scan the stands, and them students are looking like they're getting ready to choke themselves. Those are the ones who place the bet.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, they're literally crying, got their hands cuffed together. They ain't praying for the university. They praying for that Cash App.
YouTube student price? Come on, y'all. Come on.
I mean, those fans be looking disillusioned and shocked like no one's business. Like they just watched someone do something very traumatic. And their team is down 3 and shit, and they took the coverage at a different price level, and they are effed up. They place bets. And what they do a lot, too, there, they do group betting. They pool their money.
That's true.
That's true.
They're not individual. They pool.
Yeah.
That's going to lead us to the next big scandal. I don't care what school it is. You can fill the headline in. It's going to happen, and it's just a matter of time. Gary, finish up, please.
Well, at 3 o'clock in the morning, AM, England will play Australia.
Yes, they will.
In the Women's Cup.
Championship?
I don't know if you noticed this, right?
Yep. Okay.
So the past week, you had no commercials, no promotions.
That's true.
The U.S. dropped out. Now, folks, it's the World Cup. What are you doing?
Apparently, Gary, that part of the world ain't important to a lot of people.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay. But, gee, I mean, people have that same kind of energy and feeling around, how come you didn't promote the Westminster Dog Show or Australian Rules Football or fucking pickleball or friggin' cornhole? You know, the demographic,
cornhole,
like, you
Lord.
Know, yeah, right?
Lord.
I mean, all of that.
Lord.
I mean, cornhole makes the TV because they got a unique viewership, you know? They got me out here in Cali ready to set that shit up in my backyard.
No,
you know
stop,
what I'm saying?
Stop,
so
stop.
I'm joking with you, though. But the point being is it's the demographic and the
yes.
And talks about all the time.
Yes.
The fight is for viewership and interest.
Yes.
And that's why ESPN can cut them off like that because they're looking at the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very blatant act. They did.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. If you want to vote the World Cup, you should go all the way to the end. No matter who wins, it is all the way to the end.
Patrick, viewership's based on sponsorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get them sponsored. You're not getting a sponsor dollar, you know?
And here's something else. Gary, to piggyback on what you said, it's going to be watched worldwide, just not in the United
yeah.
States.
Great statement.
The women's team made all this noise about where they were. They had two national championships or world championships, and they were making all this noise about a three-peat. What they really wanted was to get paid. They got paid. They got screwed. They lost. Go to fuck home. Sit down. Shut up.
By the way, the Grand Prix will be off for the next 2 weeks. Many vacations for 2 weeks. Hope you have a good August.
Well, I want to know what the setup is for the Greg Levercole on week three, man. I mean, what's the forecast, man? Is this going to be Shalimar versus the emotions? I mean, what you got cooking?
Well, actually, I'm going to do cool. I think it'll be cool again.
Uh oh. Cool bell, Papa. Cool bell.
Homeboy,
you're
in my house.
What's up,
homie? It'll be Thursday. I think I'm gonna get a new time. So I like to fight with AFL football. I am not battling with AFL football.
All right, dang G man, I think I'll have to play some Jungle Boogie after this.
That's right.
Well, I keep it wild and peaceful as I finish up here. You know, the Michael Owen thing, it could have gone a lot of different ways, but we all know that everything that came out of it was disgusting.
Yeah.
They pimped out the player, they pimped out the game, and they pimped out the attitude of the so-called benevolent white man. His air is easier to breathe, his water's wetter, his ice is cooler, all that. You know, the Tuis brought it all back to 1850, not 1950, and they didn't give a fuck because they got paid. I don't know what's going to happen with Michael Owen, but the brother is going to need some healing. I hope they didn't eat up his contract in terms of his pension, because he's going to need that pension. So here's to your brother to heal yourself, because nobody's going to do it for you.
Come on, everybody clap your hands, what's up? Come on, clap your hands, clap your hands, come on. Just clap your hands, clap your hands, everybody, just heal yourself. Come on, heal, heal, heal yourself. Come on, everybody, just heal yourself. Come on, everybody, go side to side, keep going, come on.
Mama said, don't you crack and smoke, you know, cause it'll make your nose grow like Pinocchio. Since I was only 15, I had to listen to what was said from my parents who were Christians. I went to school and saw all my friends do it, but I said no, cause I ain't want my nose to grow. They started tripping on me, busting and flipping on me, so I had to run and say, yo, keep stepping on me. I started smoking to prove I'm an adult. Now it's a habit, but is it all my fault? I wish my mother had told me the truth, cause now I'm all based out on dope.
Oh, man, I like the way that's going down.
Everybody rise as I present to a jet black crowd what it's like to be black and proud in a world where white is right, but not tonight. This is a black man's mic. I heard a sister say she don't like me.